We're going to be talking about the body of Christ, and particularly about some aspects of it, including that confluence that we talked about a couple days ago. The first group that the mystery of Christ was revealed to, besides, you know, after Paul was saved, it was revealed to Paul on the road to Damascus, but after that, the first ones in the body of Christ were from the gospel, Romans 1:16, that was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So you had all these Jews and Greeks in the body of Christ, and then when Paul was finally sent to all people, there was this difference of culture that had to be overcome. So I think for an opening scripture, I think we'll just read the verse that Brother Richard Jordan left off with there, had started to talk about, Ephesians 4:3. And it doesn't, it does mean what we always thought, you know, to be peaceful with each other, but it also had a context, a meaning in the context, the time when it was written. And it was for those Jews and Greeks that were in the body of Christ already, when Paul started bringing in, preaching the gospel to all people, and bringing in pork eaters, bringing in, non-Sabbath keepers, that believed the gospel of Christ and were saved, brought them in, there was this shock, this difference, and Paul says to endeavor to keep the peace. So that's the verse, verse 3, Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that doesn't give a lot of detailed information, but it kind of sums up what we'll be talking about tonight, and we hope to be giving the details. If we... Well, about that confluence, anyway. In Paul's later sending, which we have pinned down pretty tightly to Acts 18:22 from various scriptures. No, that's not it. That was when the sending was. That was when the the telling of it, the temple vision. The actual sending came later, and we'll get to that in a minute, the actual verses. But it's told about, that temple vision is told about in Acts 22, 17 through 21, verses 17 to 21. And Christ told Paul that later than that even, you know, later after the time that he had that vision in the temple, not at that time, but later, after Acts 18:22, he would be sent to all men. And he, you know, that hadn't been told him before that we know of, other than possibly when Ananias revealed what the Holy Spirit told him of Paul's future, that he'd be sent to Israel, to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. So that doesn't specify all Gentiles either. Just the Gentiles. But eventually, that later time came, and the Bible said it was to be testified in due time. Look at 1 Timothy 2:6. Welcome to the room, and I hope somebody can post some of these verses anyway. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." That due time came when Paul talks about the beginning of the gospel in Philippians 4:15. Philippians 4:15 we need to look at too. Let me see if I can get that up. It's crucial. 4:15. There we go. Now you know, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when was the beginning of the gospel? When I departed from Macedonia. no church communicated me with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. That pins it down as to the beginning of the gospel happening when he departed from Macedonia. And we've seen before in Acts 16, verse 12, Philippi is a major city in that part of Macedonia where Paul was. And so if you look, and we are going to look in Acts 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi. You could say, without changing the meaning a bit, we sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So when was the beginning of the gospel? It was when Paul sailed away from Macedonia. And when did he sail away from Macedonia? We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. You can pin it down in the Acts record as being Acts 20, verse 6. Things that happened before Acts 20, verse 6 were before Paul was sent to all men. He was sent to the Jew and to the Greek. After Acts 20, verse 6, he was being sent to all men. And he was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. So, going on. After about 10 years from Acts 13, when he was first sent out with the gospel on the work, what the Bible calls the work, during that diminishing period, from Acts 13 to Acts 20, while he was still sent to the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues with the same saving message by which he was saved, Paul began preaching that same saving message after about 10 years to all people. That's when he was sent to all people. So it was about a 10-year dispensation of the gospel before the dispensation of the grace of God. And you can tell that Paul had a lot to say about it, because the 5 days later, when his ship, after he sailed away from Macedonia, from Philippi, Macedonia, 5 days later, when his ship arrived at Troas, he preached all night. And that's the first time that the Bible, it's the only time I know of that the Bible says Paul preached all night somewhere. He finally had been sent to all people. And at Troas, his first stop after sailing away from Macedonia, he kept talking about it and kept explaining it all night long. Since it was at night, and they didn't have electric lights back then, they would have had a lot of candles burning, using up a lot of oxygen, and there was a person named Eutychus sitting in the window of the third floor loft. And as the meeting continued longer and longer, he fell asleep and tumbled out of the window and was taken up dead. And remember that Luke the physician wrote this. He would have known if he was dead or not. The next thing Eutychus knew, Paul was hugging him, and all the people were around him looking very relieved and thanking God. Paul had used his signs of an apostle, not the body of Christ signs, but the signs of an apostle, to bring Eutychus back to life. And we've shown that Philippians 4:15 says that there was a change in the gospel in Acts 20, verse 6, when he sailed away from Macedonia. It was the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God, which was the same saving message again. There's not a change in the message of how people get saved. That's the same. From Acts 9, verse 6, on the road to Damascus when Paul was saved, to the last person that gets saved before the taking up, the catching up of the body of Christ. It's the same saving message. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the uncircumcision. It's the same saving message. But now, Christ had sent Paul to all men with it. And that was the difference. The difference in the the instructions for distribution. So it had a different name to the gospel. Both before and after Paul's later sending to all men, people could be saved by believing that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead to justify the believer. And the emphasis being for their sins. Christ died for my sins. You know, I'm without sin. You know, my body, my members have sin in it, but my spirit is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. And same with everyone that has believed the gospel. So Christ died for their sins, for all of them. There's not one sin he didn't die for. He died for their sins. But that alone does not prove that Paul's sending to all men was in Acts 20, verse 6. His long preaching at Troas certainly indicates that some change had just happened, even though the Bible text does not, all in one place, disclose what it is, what it was at that time. And we know from Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, that the message content that saved believers before it was sent to all men is the same as the message content that saved people after it was sent to all men. The term gospel includes the message content, Christ died for your sins, believe on him to life everlasting, as well as identifying the target audience, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or else Christ died as a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for all. You know, that's part of the distribution. Who's going to hear about it? Who was Paul sent to? And, you know, the time during which it was to be preached. Was it to be preached in Revelation 14 as the gospel, what is it, the gospel of the everlasting gospel. The results are everlasting. It's good news for those that are saved, but it's bad news, the worst news for those that have continually rejected the grace of God. The gospel of Christ is exactly the same saving message as the gospel of the grace of God. Gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, as far as what to believe, what the results are, it's the same. The difference being that huge expansion of the audience. It required a change in the name of the gospel to distinguish it. That same saving message by which Paul was saved and which had been sent to the Jew first and to the Greek also, it began to be called the gospel of the grace of God, as it is today. So even though Troas is the only incident recorded in the Bible where Paul preached all night, it, you know, alone by itself, it doesn't prove that Paul had just received the Lord's sending to start preaching the salvation message to all people. Take a look with me at Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. And if somebody has the verse list downloaded from the page 14 on the website, on the menu of the website, download the text version if you just have a mini poster, and that will give you in English what the verses are. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. In Ephesians 1:15, Paul says that he learned of those later believers in Ephesus by having heard about them. Paul did not know them beforehand, before he heard that they were now believers in Paul's gospel of salvation. How do you suppose those new believers in Ephesus heard the gospel of salvation and believed it, since Paul had only been going to the Jews and the Greeks before he was sent to all men? This is the second witness, pointing to the time when Christ sent Paul to all men. That being that they heard from when, when in Acts 20, Paul called down the elders from Ephesus down to Miletus. And I didn't get that list today. It's at the, if you can go to the website, it's on page 14 there, according to the date. The text file ends with TXT. But we were saying that let me go back a little bit in my notes and find out what. The only way that is hinted at in the Bible that those people in Ephesus, the unsaved, uncaring, ungodly Gentiles, all Gentiles are ungodly, all people are, but to start with, but the ones that hadn't blessed Israel, how could they hear the message of salvation? Well, those elders that Paul had called down from Ephesus to Miletus in Acts 20, verses 17 through the end of the chapter, he must have told them. They went back and told the surrounding people there around the synagogue and around the city of Ephesus that you don't have to be a Jew now. You don't have to be a Jew blesser. It's by believing that Christ died for your sins, not believing that there's a kingdom coming. And so those others, there were some of those, probably some of those that were, you know, complaining about Paul ruining their income because they were makers of idols, and selling idols was how they made their living. So, excuse me just a minute, please. All right, well, I think she got it. So that pretty well pins it down to being in Acts 20 sometime, which coincides with the Acts 20 verse 6 that we saw before. This second witness pointing to the time when Christ was sent to all men. So the other indicator given in Scripture as to when those heathen believers in Ephesus could have heard the gospel of the grace of God is that they heard it from those elders, you know, that, like we had said, from that were called down to Miletus. It was just after he had sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, and it says it took him 5 days. Let me get that verse in front of me again. That's Acts 20. Wouldn't hurt us all to hear it one more time. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days. So it was 5 days after he left. Somewhere during that 5 days, the Lord had revealed it to him. We abode there in Troas 7 days. So now, let's think about the confusion and the possibly anger or animosity that was going on within the group of the believers there, the expression of the body of Christ in Ephesus, adding those heathen to the Jews and the Greeks that were already in the body of that one same body of Christ. But it would have been quite a shock. When we look in Ephesians 3, we're going beyond Paul's earlier ministry in Acts. Ephesians wasn't written about his trips to Ephesus in Acts. It was years after, at least. It's the same salvation pattern that Christ had set up to save Paul, though. Christ's new pattern of salvation began in Acts 9. Paul ministered the gospel to those who, to whom he'd been sent to. In Acts, it's recorded in Acts 26, verses 16 and 17, Paul tells to whom he was sent at that time, "But rise and stand upon thy feet," this is verse 6, Acts 26, 16, "for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles," so there's some people and some Gentiles the Lord is going to have to deliver Paul from, and he says, "delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." So those people that he had to deliver him from is who his first sending was to. That sending happened in Acts 9, and let's explore who it is the Bible says Paul was sent to at that time. Christ said, "delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles." Well, in Acts 14, verses 1 and 2, 5 and 19, we find those people and those Gentiles from whom Paul was delivered. Let's look at starting in Acts 14, verse 1. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of the Jews, a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed." So there you've got believing Jews and believing Greeks. Verse 2, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." So you get down to verse 5 in Acts 14. "And when there was an assault made of both of the Gentiles and of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them." So there you've got a clear division between Gentiles and Jews on one side and the Greeks and the believing Jews on the other side. you can easily see that there's a major difference between the alien Gentiles that God separated Israel from, and at least in many places in the Old Testament, but Leviticus 20, verses 24 to 26, you can see it clearly. They were separated from them, severed from them. From those Gentiles, but there were the Jews that were along with the Greek there were the Greeks that were along with the Jews, believing. They were Gentiles that believed that God was working with mankind through Israel, through a coming kingdom, even though they weren't going to be the Jews running the kingdom. They believed in God and His way. So they had sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. They were what, wisdom and knowledge seekers of the time were called. They were Greeks. They were devout Greeks. They were godly, seeking God's wisdom and knowledge. You get down to Acts 14:19. "There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." Well, guess what? He was dead. Jewish law calls for a person, when they're stoned, to be stoned until they are dead. So there's good indication he was dead. In fact, if you trace back, if you go ahead 14 years, you can trace back 14 years to this event from when Paul talked about the time that he didn't know if he was in the body or the spirit. I know not. 2 Corinthians 11, I think it is. 12 or 11. I think it's 11. Where he learned things that not right for him to talk about. And he says in 2 Corinthians 12:6, "I know the truth, I will tell the truth, but now I forbear." So he had to wait until he was sent to all men to tell this. It was
to the Jew first and also to the Greek at that time.
So from these verses we can see that there were some people and some Gentiles from whom Paul was not delivered. And there were some people and some Gentiles from whom Paul was delivered. Acts 26:17 says that Paul was sent to the people and the Gentiles from whom he was delivered. Looking in Acts 14, verses 5 and 19, we see some people and some Gentiles from whom Paul was not delivered, and Paul was not yet being sent to those people, to those Gentiles. But we see also those Jews and Greeks who believed Paul's teaching in Acts 14, 1 and 2, and from whom Paul was delivered in Acts 14, verse 6. So, they are the Jews and the Greeks that believed when Paul was, when he preached the gospel of God to them, that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah. And in Acts 14, verses 3 and 4, they divided, and Paul preached the word of his grace unto those that believed the gospel of God. So, as always, and six times documentable through the New Testament, through Paul's writings there, you can see that Paul always preached the gospel of God about who Jesus is before he preached the gospel of the grace of God, or the gospel, excuse me, the gospel of Christ, it would have been at the time, about how Christ can save them, how Christ died for their sins to save them, what Christ did for them. So, and you can even see when Paul received this part of that sending of which Christ had told Paul, I will appear unto thee. So look in Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that's called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So there's these five prophets and teachers in the church in Antioch, Syria. And verse 2, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Lord said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have, whereunto I have called them. The work is a... It's a bringing down to that present time of what Habakkuk 1 verse 5 was talking about. So, and we get into that in other lessons. Let's keep going though here. Welcome to the room. Acts 13:3 is a little different here. And when they, those prophets and teachers, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's ascending by those prophets and teachers there in Antioch. You get to the next verse and we see the sending away by the Holy Ghost. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence unto they sailed unto Cyprus. Now, the reason we make clear that separation, that difference between being sent by the prophets and teachers and being sent by the Holy Ghost is because you get down to Acts 14:26. Let me see if I can get that up here. Acts 14:26 says, and thence they sailed, talking about Paul and Barnabas, sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. This is at the end of that journey. They had been recommended to the grace of God for which they the work which they fulfilled, is what it's saying. So that part of it, the part that they were sent out on from the prophets and teachers, ended in Acts 14:26. What was Paul teaching between then, between Acts 14:26 and Acts 20:6, when he got sent to all men? He was preaching what he was sent by the Holy Ghost in Acts 13:4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed from Seleucia. So, in other words, that Holy Ghost sending lasted. He was to keep... He couldn't say, well, I'm done now. until he was done and done with going to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in Romans 15, verse 19, he says that he had fulfilled his ministry that he'd been sent out on. And it was time for, there's about four or five indications between in Romans chapter 15, I think it's the second part of it, and Acts 20, that they just plain correlate. That was the time when Paul, all those hints in those two chapters point to Paul being sent to all people at that time in Acts 20, verse 6. So that's why we emphasize that he was sent by the two senders. Once, you know, it was at the same time that he left and was sent, but it was the prophets and teachers that sent him. Also, the Holy Ghost sent him, and that lasted throughout his life, actually. He didn't stop going to the Jews and the Greeks, but he just didn't go specially to them anymore after he was sent to all men. Anybody could, including Jews and Greeks, could believe at that point the gospel that we believe today, that Christ died for your sins. Your sins are died for. You don't have to sweat it, you know. You don't have to worry that, how am I going to stand? Am I going to stand in the judgment? Will I fail? You already know that your sins, God already took out the full wrath of his justice on your sins on the cross of Calvary, on Christ, when he was on the cross. Christ died for our sins. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So, in Acts 13, verse 4, we see them being sent, Paul and Barnabas being sent forth, and the second sender, the second one, not the prophets and teachers, but the Holy Ghost being the sender. And that sender was to the work, as the Holy Ghost had said in Acts 13:2, for the work to which I have called them, sent them. Well, how does that go? Where is it? Acts 13:2. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And by following the Acts history record there, as it goes through the chapters, we see that the work was for Paul to go to synagogue after synagogue, preaching the gospel of God, followed by the gospel of Christ, if he could. If they would let him, he would preach it to those who believed the gospel of God. They would get to hear the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. Those were the Jews and Greeks from whom the Lord delivered Paul. And the ones who were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. As you can see in Romans 11:11 and Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, I think it is, 21, that there was some people that were, there was, I think it's called them, which are not a people. They weren't a nationality. They're Greeks. They're known from any nationality. They're known because they blessed Israel, because they had sought the wisdom and knowledge of God and heard of Genesis 12:3, and so they blessed Israel to be right with God, as right as they knew how to be. So, those were the Jews and the Greeks to whom Paul was sent. That Holy Ghost sending of Acts 13:2 and verse 4, that ended when the conditions of Paul's sending were changed, and Paul received of the Lord Jesus the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20, verse 24. Then that earlier, narrower work, as it was called, to the Jews and the Greeks was surpassed, was included in the all-man ministry of Paul. As we can see in Romans 10, verse 1, during the work in Acts, Paul, this was after the fall of Israel. Paul's heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. How could they be saved if they've already fallen? Well, he's preaching a gospel of salvation, but they had to ignore their Jewishness. They had to say, our Jewishness is not any benefit. And that's what they certainly think it is. They think they've got a pass, a free pass, because they're a Jew. So they had to turn around in their thinking, change their mind, called repentance, and believe that Jesus was the true Son of God, the Messiah, that was crucified and risen from the dead then. That middle of Acts ministry was all before the same saving message was sent to people like us as the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God. In mid-Acts, it was still the dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and to the Greeks. That same saving message had not yet been sent to all people until at least Acts 20 verse 6 when Paul departed from Macedonia. The doctrine that Paul taught at those times matched the doctrine in line with what he taught in Acts, like we just reviewed some of it. Let's look now in Ephesians, written after the end of Acts, after Israel had been actually not just fallen in Acts 7, but they'd been cast away in Acts 28. Verses 25 to 29, and blinded at that time in Acts 28. Paul says in this Ephesians, written after all that, Ephesians 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So Paul says he was the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, and if you review why he was arrested, before that, you know, what his arrest was for, why he was a prisoner at the time, what Paul became a prisoner for, it was for saying that he was taking the gospel of salvation to all men. It was that second sending that caused him to be arrested. I really can't understand how people can say it was all the same sending, there was no second sending. That's what caused him to be arrested in prison, writing the prison epistles. So he was taking the gospel of salvation to all men, to the alien Gentiles, the goyim, as they understood the word in Hebrew, instead of just to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that's why he was in bonds, incarcerated. At the end of Acts, Paul was arrested. In this period that we're talking about here, he was arrested, he was sent to Rome, and he was in a Roman house arrest kind of an arrangement there. They were better to him than they might have been. He, for a while at least, he had it pretty good there in his own house with a guard there with him to make sure he stayed there. But let's review the charges that put Paul under arrest. In Acts 22, Paul was telling the Jews in Jerusalem that he was starting to preach his gospel of salvation to all men now. And before that, in the Acts 20 time period, he wrote in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It does not save unbelievers. It is to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Those two. Well, that leaves out, you know, those that aren't Greek Gentiles. Or, you know, leaves us out. But that was in the time of Acts 20, verse 3, when he wrote Romans. But things were changing. Things were different after the end of Acts, as witnessed by the doctrine in Ephesians, the doctrine that Paul writes about in Ephesians, having received the revelation of these things from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And you can see the gradual changes throughout the book of Acts, the actions and the changes. So
I think we'd better stop there, and we'll continue. What is this, Thursday? We'll pick it up again tomorrow.